Great to have you with us this Wednesday afternoon. Still waiting for the next big deal to fall. Obviously, the Tim Kelly deal, the big one. There has been reports that Eddie Betts is likely to happen. John Relf's reporting that details we'll wait and see within the next 24 hours. Still waiting on Orazio Fantasia to tell us something. He's now got the manager, Michael Doherty. So we'll wait and see whether or not something's going to materialise over there.
Has he told us where he wants to go yet?
Not yet. No, we're still waiting.
Has he told them he wants out yet?
No, not officially, I don't believe. But everyone says this is a crazy thing about it. We're all just sitting here waiting for it and expecting it to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. We're here thanks to Doncaster BMW. Experience the difference at Doncaster BMW and Ace Gutters. Australian made, built to last. We'll get to the Who Am I clue before 5:30. We've got a very special guest in the studio. A man whose story fascinates me. He's now at Melbourne United. He's already tasted life in the NBA and made an impact over there for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's only 26 years old. Been good enough to join us for a bit of a chat. His name's Sean Long. How are you going, mate?
Doing good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Give us a quick snapshot on the start of the season. You get beaten by Phoenix. They're first up. You go over to Perth. A last-second thriller over there. You get beaten by a point. Not the win-loss record you want, but the way the team's gone about its business in the first couple?
I think, of course you don't want to lose ever, but I think right now we're going through a period where we're trying to find our identity. It's a whole new group of people playing together, so, that just comes with it. Being that, we're missing a lot of our key guys, it just comes with building. But I think by the time when it's time, the end of the year, we'll be there where we need to be.
Can you force that when you're trying to find that thing that just makes it all mesh together and work? Can you force that or just have to give it time?
I know, you can work on it every day in training and stuff like that, but it's not really something you force. You kind of just let it happen. It's really on us as players to find out what that is. I think we're doing a good job right now trying to figure that out. But we're heading in the right direction for sure.
How's the resilience in the group, Sean? Is it do you guys get together for meetings, for team meetings, just the players after a couple of losses in a row?
Yeah, we have our own group message and everything. So the guys are real close. It's no issue with that. I think it's just like I said, just a whole bunch of new guys trying to get together and figure out. Everybody's talented. Like this is one of those groups where you have everybody who can score the ball, play their way. So we just got to figure out what we need from each guy.
There's a lot of hype around the NBL this year, maybe the second best league in the world. You've been out here for a little while. You were saying that last year, you felt like you were one of the more athletic guys, but this year it's evened up a bit. Is that a fair reflection?
Yeah, definitely. I knew that coming back though, that teams, once they saw I was coming back for sure, they'll go do some recruiting. And with the Rising Stars thing coming in, it's just drawing a lot of attention to the league. So I think right now, they're heading the right way of being one of the top leagues in the world.
Did you see how many people watched that Illawarra-Brisbane game?
No, I didn't catch it. It was a lot.
Over a million people. I know from American numbers that's kind of nothing, but that got streamed back, got streamed out, NBL streamed it, and the global number, over a million people watched that LaMelo Ball game.
Oh, that's crazy.
How good is that clearly you must have ambitions to get back to America and play in the NBA. That would be crazy if you didn't, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
So to know that you've got these rising stars coming down and playing and we've got more NBA scouts looking and you go back over to the States tomorrow to play the Clippers, does it feel like you're close to being in the glare of those NBA clubs?
I think it's all about timing, and I think that's one of those things that, you could just put the work in. But right now, I'm just focusing on the season right here we have. Even though we're going over there and play NBA teams, the reality of it is I'm in the NBL. So I need to focus on the NBL right now.
Is it kind of odd? The season's just started, and here you are jumping on a plane tomorrow to go over to America. And does that feel, from a timing perspective, you're trying to get into the groove of the season here that's just started? Is that sort of a bit jarring?
Yeah, it's different. As players, we like to, once preseason's over, just roll with our season. But I get it from the league's perspective. Anytime you get to play against NBA teams and you're trying to be one of the top leagues, that's the best league in the world. So why not?
So tell us about your story. You came out of Louisiana. You played all your junior basketball there. You play for the Philadelphia 76ers. You get added to their roster. That wasn't a long stint when you first went there, but you ended up going back there. Just take us through your basketball timeline.
Just coming out of college?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Luckily for me, I didn't go drafted, but before the draft was over, I knew Philly was going to sign me, so I was cool. And once I got there, I think just from the beginning to the end, they did a great job just, making me feel at home and making me feel like one of theirs. And even when they sent me down to the G League, I kind of had the vibe, I was still with them, I still go work out with them and stuff like that. Actually, when they called me back up, I thought I was just going to work out. We had just came off the bus from a game, so I just thought it was just another workout. They just do a contract for me. I just... I couldn't even like fathom. I was like, oh my God, it's crazy. Yeah. And then the next game, I mean, the same night I played. So it was crazy.
Wow. That's amazing.
When you played those 18 games at the NBA level, your numbers, from my way of seeing, you're playing 13 minutes a game. You're averaging 8 and a bit points a game. The numbers look okay. Like, I'm thinking, oh, well, this is pretty good. You would have been 24 when you played, 23, 24 years old. Did you think, you know, based on the experience you had at that stage, do you think, yeah, I can play in this league?
Yeah, I definitely had the confidence. You know, it really wasn't ever a question. Just when I got there, I think I made the best of my opportunity, and I think that's something that, you know, nobody could ever say I didn't do.
Yep.
But I think I'll get back, man. It's just all about timing.
So what are you gonna do? What door have you got open to get back there?
Just finding my flaws in my game that they see, and just working on it. That's all you can really do. Like, next year, I plan on going to summer league, showcasing, you know, all the changes I made in my game, physically, my body. I think I've done a great job. The conditioning coach here, Pop, is great, so I'm blessed to have him. And that's really all I could do right now. Try to win here. You know, winning here would make a big point too.
Sean, is there a line of communication between you and the NBA, whether that be through your agent or Philly where you played? Is there a line there, or are you just playing and sort of hoping for the best?
Yeah, of course. You know, I have a great agent. You know, so he's always talking to those guys. But like I say, I kind of just leave that to them. All I can really do is work on things that I could work on right now and just try to get better. You know, defensively. Continue to work on my body and grow. That's all I could do.
So when you say grow, you don't mean grow up. You just mean grow your game. Because you were telling us before we came on air that you've gone from...
It was 6'4", and then had a growth spurt, Andy.
So there must have been... Tell us about that, and tell us about the challenge. Like, you change as a basketballer. You don't just change in size. You go from being what you were to something completely different.
Yeah, it's weird when I tell people, you know, a lot of people don't believe I didn't really start playing, like, organized ball. It's like my junior year of high school because injury my sophomore year, I couldn't play. Freshman year, I just didn't play. I just played like a little, you know, youth leagues here and there. But I didn't really get rolling to like organized basketball to like almost out of high school going into college.
So
like I didn't even know I was going to college, you know.
So you're 18, 19 by this stage?
17, yep. Yeah, around that age. Like I didn't dunk until my junior year. I could always get up there, but I just didn't know how, you know.
Andy still can't dunk.
Yeah, no, I dream about it. I got a trampoline. I can do it.
I stuff it in there occasionally.
No, you don't. That's a lie.
Don't interrupt.
Yeah, by the way, he thinks he can play. He don't. No, he does. He thinks he can play.
No, you look legit to me.
You can see. Go,
tell me what about him.
So you said the cookie jar.
You say he looks legit to you. What about him? Looks
look at
legit.
The form. Look at the form.
Come on.
It's perfect form.
So how did that? So you that growth spurt you go through? You go from 6'4" to 6'10".
Yep.
In what, 2 years?
Yeah, over the course of 3 years. 3 years.
How do you, in terms of that's a challenge in and of itself, but you go from being a point guard to a forward?
I just play center.
Center. So you have to learn how to play a different game.
Yeah, my high school coach made me embrace it, you know, because I always wanted to handle the ball and shoot the three a lot. So you try to work with me on the block and stuff, and some of those things still stick with me today.
If you feel comfortable now, having the transition's taken place and you are what you are, is that, when you say the things you got to work on, is it understanding that position and the nuances and the tricks and, you know, just growing the 360 degrees in that position that's part of the evolution that you need to go through?
Yeah, definitely, because right now I feel like my game, you know, a lot of it, you know, is relying on, like, power on the block. I feel like if I add some moves to it, you know, stuff like that, I'll be okay.
That must be a real advantage for you, having been, you know, a point guard in your youth where you've been able to handle the ball and then the growth spurt and add that sort of dimension to your game. Because traditionally it would be, I would imagine, players who are big in high school and then they get to the big leagues and they're not so big. So then they have to find another string. I imagine it would be harder to go from a big bloke on the block to then... and then handling the ball a bit more, but you've gone the other way.
Yeah, man, like I'm not the perfect ball handler. You know, I lost a lot of that, but it's just still the instinct, you know, of playing guard. Is, I still have some of those things in me. I think that's what makes me so skilled, and I'm happy.
What are you expecting from the Clippers? They're in their preseason now. They're gearing up now, really winding up to the start of the season. We've seen Ben Simmons. Everybody's seen Ben Simmons knock down a big three today.
Yeah, I saw that. That was crazy.
We're all getting excited about that, aren't we?
It looked nice, too. It didn't just...
It's crazy, though, because he could really shoot the ball. He just doesn't. It's funny.
Was he there when
same rookie class, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he can shoot the ball. He got good form.
So why doesn't he do it?
Yeah, he didn't want me. I mean, he'd rather create for others, I guess.
Yeah, but sometimes it's your turn. You got to take
Selfish.
What are you going to do sometimes? When it's my turn to go.
That sort of attitude wouldn't fly at Coburg Monday night, D-Grove.
So when you go over to play the Clippers, what sort of – are they going to be fully – not fully wound up, but how wound up will they be in terms of getting themselves ready for the regular season? Will they be a full roster? Will they all be playing?
I mean, I'm pretty sure some of the star guys might not play. I might play limited minutes. But just being around, you know, an NBA team during preseason, you know, it's no different. Like, they're getting ready to go. They're not slacking off at all. So I'm looking forward to it.
So Sean Long's in the studio. So be honest with us. These games aren't for points. You know, this isn't part of the NBL championship. And they want to see you playing your role. And, but is there a bit of you that says, it's a chance for me just to, do a little bit of,
Always, when you're playing against the best, you want to play your best game.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be – I'm more curious to see how the guys on the team react, because here there isn't much space on the floor. There will be a lot of space. So you better see, guys here do more things, and I'm excited about that.
Can you explain?
Is that? Is that because
you're not allowed to sit in the paint? On defense, you're not allowed to sit in the paint. You got to get out of the paint. So it's the same on both ends, so it opens up the floor more. That's why you see a lot more dunks and stuff like that.
The old 3 seconds in the key.
Yeah, you can't stay in there.
Well, you should have known that.
Wow.
You didn't see Tom dunk on Jackson earlier? Tom Abercrombie? You saw that?
Yeah, I did see that.
That's why. It's a lot of space on the floor.
Yeah, you're allowed to stand in the key in Monday nights at Coburg, Andy. People don't leave the key, Andy.
Do you like Melbourne? Like, you played in the league. You've been part of the Breakers system. Do you like Melbourne?
Yeah, I love it, yeah. It's definitely different from Auckland. As far as the city, it's more of like a real city vibe.
Yeah.
But it's cool, man. I like it. Yeah, it's a lot more to do.
So tell us about that transition as well, particularly back in America. You come from – you mentioned where you're from in Louisiana. I couldn't remember the name. I'd never heard of it before. Yeah. But
Say Lafayette.
Lafayette, is that a big town?
It's not crazy small, but where I'm from is crazy small, but Lafayette is not that small. It's one of the biggest cities in Louisiana.
So you go from home to Lafayette, then you go to Philly.
Yep. And then I go to Houston.
Then you go to Houston.
And that's where I reside now. That's where my house is.
How much of a transition does that take getting used to?
You get used. I mean, just travel ball and stuff like that. You kind of get used to moving around.
Yeah.
Like, it gets to the point where, like, it's nothing now. Like, even coming here, like, you don't really think about it. You just do it. It's your job. You're playing, the game you love. So it's cool.
And if it's not to be the NBA, and we hope for your sake it is, as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Is this where you're on? You're going back to China, you'll play here, you'll play there. Are you just going to be a pro baller now who takes your talents around the world for the next 10 years and, just makes a nice living out of playing the game wherever the road might take you? Are you ready for that as a reality?
Yeah, I think I'm still in the stage where I'm trying to chase that dream. But, eventually it comes to the point where you got to just go, make your living while you can. So I'm definitely looking forward to the future and see what it holds. But I'm going to put in the work. I'm always going to put in the work.
Well, most of the people around here are very much in the Melbourne United camp, Sean. So our boss here is fairly connected to Melbourne United. So, mate, we wish you all the very best. How long is the trip over in the States?
A week and a little change.
Righto.
Yeah.
Well, good luck over there and good luck when you come back.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
Sean Long, Melbourne United. There's a list of NCAA Division I men's basketball players with 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. That includes, what about these names? Larry Bird, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, and Sean Long.
Ooh.
He's in some fairly handy company. Don't go anywhere. Who am I? We've got the clue coming up. There's a load to get through. 1-300-736-736. We'll open the lines up. Get back to some of your observations about some of the trade moves that have taken place and likely to take place a little bit later on.